Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby. I hope you're doing well today, and I hope you had a good week this last week. I'm doing all right. Thank you. It's a beautiful day here in San Antonio. I'm here in my back patio as usual, and I was just telling Doug there's a warm breeze coming in through the enclosed patio, and a little while ago it rained, and I felt the mist of the rain come in through the screen on my back. It was nice. It only lasted a little while. Well, on my show today, I've got something planned. And I'm going to talk for a while, and then you listen to my last show and the one before that. I did a little singing, and I'm experimenting with singing because, as I mentioned, I'm a singer, and I have gone to the Wounded Warriors to entertain them in the past. I started back in October of 13, and I went every month for a few years before I got a new supervisor who wouldn't let me go. I had to take leave, so I didn't go as often. But the Warrior and Family Support Center in Fort Sam Houston is where I go and sing for the Wounded Warriors. I always was a good singer. I think when I was in the Army, I used to sing cadence, you know, marching and running. And I was always good at that. I went through basic training in AIT at Fort Benning, Georgia. And I always used to scream my cadence to the top of my lungs the best I could. Because they wanted us to, you know, for one thing. But then I realized that I could hold the tune pretty good. So kept it going over the years, and my first karaoke song I sang back in 94. I think it was Neil Young's Song Sung Blue. And then I sang Hotel California. And now I'm still singing karaoke songs, although I've got a large repertoire, songs I've memorized. And so that's what I enjoy doing. It's not only good exercise for the lungs, but it's a mind exercise as well when you have to remember the words and then you have to get the harmony and the timing right. It's good. It's a brain exercise, you know, and it makes me feel smarter. So I plan on singing some songs today. I'm going to talk about some real-life issues. You know, my friends, one of our missions, I feel, while we're here on Earth is to bring heaven and Earth closer together. And we do that by talking about things that aren't normally talked about. You know, in the course of a regular day, over the waking hours, we're busy with our lives. There's not much time to think about God and heaven. But welcome to BBS Radio. I was listening to a show earlier, and there are some very intelligent people out there who have some brilliant ideas about life. And it's impressive. And I'm doing my part, my little 2 cents worth, so to speak. Actually, it's more than that. Now, it's not television. Television, of course, is the medium that people look up to as the great one of all, you know. If you get on television, then you've achieved success. You know, you've made it to the top. And depending on whether or not you can talk coherently, clearly, intelligently, then determines if you will continue on in the television medium, you know. I ultimately one day would like to have my own television show, and I need to look into what BBS Radio has to offer more, and I will. But for the time being, I've got my radio show, and 1 hour goes by really quickly. So thank you for tuning in, whoever you are. I don't even know if there's any people out there. There's no way to tell. I could ask Doug, and I'm not really interested in. I've asked him before, and I'm not really interested in asking him. And there could be 1, 10, 100, 1,000. I remember one time I asked Doug, and he said there was about 100 people listening. He can tell. There's ways for him to tell. But I don't know if there might be a 17-year-old young woman from Russia listening in. You know, I mean, you think about the internet. It extends all over the world. Someone who might be trying to learn English, someone who might like the sound of my voice. He might understand some of the things I say. He was interested in esoteric spiritual principles, you know, because, as I've said before, we're really here on Earth for one thing only, and that is to develop ourselves spiritually. Everything else is secondary. Having a job, making a lot of money, raising children, it's all secondary to spiritual development. And every once in a while, you hear people talk about it. There are songs, a lot of good songs. One that comes to mind is the one by The Police back in the 70s. We are spirits in the material world. We are spirits having a material existence, or we are existing materially to develop our spirits. And as I've mentioned also before, the soul is the brain of the spirit. And that has all of our past life memories and has access to universal knowledge, which we, when we cross over to the other side, into the spirit land, the spirit world, we will have access to that universal knowledge, and all of a sudden, every question that we had can be answered, you know. But what behooves us is to gain as much knowledge as we can while we're here on Earth. Because that's what it's all about, my friend. It's a school here. We're learning basic social values. It's the university of the universe. But planet Earth, albeit a beautiful, beautiful, awesome, wonderful world with such a variety of life, a jewel in the universe, it's still only a category one on a scale of 1 to 9 in the evolutionary ladder of evolution, a category one planet of evolution, which means that we are engaged in some of the things that a civilization in the lower stages of evolution does, to include war, killing, famine, children starving all over the world, money, the greedy, taking advantage of other people, caught up in competition, not saying too many good things about each other, mostly bad, negative stuff. Welcome to planet Earth, a category one planet in the universe, my friends. And if you've heard some of my shows before and some of the titles of my show, right now my titles are called Spirits Can Exist on the Sun. Why? Because spirits can exist in fire and light. The source of light for our solar system is the sun. And our spirits are made of light energy. And so we can exist on the sun, which is heaven, or we can burn in hell, which is beneath the surface of the earth. Right? You've heard of that before. The Bible talks about it. Burning in hell. Yeah, that's where our spirits, some spirits go. Check out the book, 23 Minutes in Hell. Oh, my God. That is a good read. If you haven't read it already, 23 Minutes in Hell, I forget the name of the author. It gives you a good idea of what to expect if you are a nasty person, a murderer, a rapist, physical abuser, sexual abuser, someone who doesn't believe in God. It could be where you might be heading for, but it's like a jail. It's not eternal damnation, my friends. I'm sorry to pop the bubble of anybody out there to think you're going to be thinks you're going to be eternally damned. Well, no, because our mother and father in heaven are loving. They love us more than you love your children, because they have more than one thing. Billions, right? And so they're very forgiving. Trouble is that some people aren't forgiving. It could be you. What do you think? Do you want to damn your own child to eternal pain and suffering just because they don't believe what you believe? That's wrong. It's time for logic to transcend fiction, my friends. You know what fiction is? Fiction is an invention. It's a fabrication. Pretending something to be true when it's false. A lot of people are like that. I don't know if that's you out there listening to Internet Radio Land, to my show all over the world. China, Japan, Australia, Canada, Argentina, India, Iraq. I love you all. You're my brothers and sisters in spirit. I'm assuming you're out there because it's better than assuming otherwise, right? That's logical. So I'm going to talk about a couple of contentious subjects. To begin with, let me say that right now I'm sitting at a table. But when I work during the week, I stand up. Why? Because I've been doing it for a few years. I've got what they call a sit-stand workstation. And my friends, it's the future. You've got to be able to stand up sometimes and type. It's bad for your body. You know that. You're a co-creator God in the making, and I'm just offering some advice. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just saying, hey, that works for me. It could work for you, too. Try it, you know. Don't be closed-minded. So, on the subject of abortion, did you know that 40 to 50 million babies are aborted in the world each year? In the U.S., 3,000 a day? Well, let me tell you something, if I may, please. Remember the movie Heaven Is For Real by Colton Burpo, a three-year-old who had a near-death experience? And that was nothing new, my friends. Nothing new because people have been having near-death experiences all the way back to Plato, even before then. But what made people notice about this one in particular was that it was a three-year-old boy. So how could a three-year-old boy make up some stuff about heaven? And there's two main things that I took away from that movie that proves to me logically that heaven is for real. First of all, he met his father's father, his grandfather. And when his own father went to get a picture, got a picture, brought it back and showed him a picture when he looked old, he said, no, that's not him. So he ran back. He said, everybody is young in heaven. So he ran back and got a picture of when he was young. And he said, yeah, that's him. That's Pops. And so the father went, wow. Oh, my God. Let me take a moment here. The other thing was, he was talking with his mother after the experience. And his mother said, how are you doing today, Colton? What's going on? And he said, Mom, I didn't know I had a sister. And she said, yes, you know you have a sister. Forget her name. Carrie, let's use the word Carrie. And he said, no, I don't mean her. I mean my other sister. And she said, what do you mean? And he said, there was this young girl that came up to me when I was in heaven. And she kept hugging me. And I asked her who she was, and she said, I'm your sister. I died in your mother's tummy. And so, mother, she was shocked. She said, I never told you that I had a miscarriage, that there was a baby that died in my tummy. And she didn't. The thing is that he saw the spirit in heaven who came up to him and started hugging him and loving on him and told him that she was his sister. So whether it's a miscarriage or an abortion, my friends, let's consider this logically. Logically, then, the spirit returns to where it came from, right? Like us. You know, we had a pre-existence, and there's going to be an afterlife. So, there's a whole lot of spirits in heaven at this time that were supposed to come to earth. I mean, I'm here. I was born. You're here. You were born. They didn't get that chance. They're there in heaven. 40 to 50 million low spirits each year. around the world who is saying things to defend their rights. Now, I know that the mother has to make a very difficult decision, and I don't want to judge mothers because I know it must be difficult, very difficult, and they're going to have to live with that for the rest of their lives. But this is something to consider. You should know that. They should know those things, you know? It's good information. And did that pass a logic test? Remember, you can't say that a 3-year-old boy made that story up. And you know heaven is for real, deep down inside your core. You know it's true. So I know this. I've read people that have been to heaven. There's a place where aborted children go, miscarried children go, and they're raised. Now, some might be older spirits, older souls, you know, who return back to that age 30 mold when they get back to the spirit lands. But some are young souls, new souls, in which case, from my knowledge, what I've learned is that they have to be raised just like children here on earth, and they're like orphans, you know. But don't get me wrong, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying those are the facts. Those are the details. And, you know, mothers are awesome. I wouldn't judge them. They have to really make a difficult decision when it comes to an abortion. And as I mentioned, they have to live with that for the rest of their lives, you know, have that on their conscience. But it might be the right thing. Ultimately, who's going to be the judge, the creator of your spirit and soul? Mother and Father God. Although, more than that, we judge ourselves when we get to heaven. It is us, really, that decide if we're going to go back to the same category of planet or graduate to a planet of a higher evolutionary category. Reincarnation, my friends, is real. Welcome to Spirituality 201. And I might know more than you about these things, but maybe I'm just like an older brother, you know? You go to school, you might have a brother that's in a lower grade, or sister in a higher grade. It doesn't make them any better than you. It just means that they've lived longer, you know? Some people have been moving around this universe longer than you, to include me, and have the benefit of many past lives more than we have. You learn things like that, you know? That's how we evolve. Another contentious subject I'm going to discuss is suicide. And there's a lot of this going on now. Did you know that here in the U.S., 48,000 people take their own lives every year? Don't you even care about them? Do you care about them? Each and every person. Like Jesus, he went back. He had his 99 sheep and went back to save the one. Are you like that? I'm asking, you know, I ask myself that too. So where do they go, these suicides? What happens? You can check out this video on YouTube if you want to, that will describe that in detail, from a book called Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore. There's about a 10-minute video on YouTube that summarizes what happened to her when she tried to take her life. She left her body. She went to a place like a holding area where she met other suicides. And all of this was not pleasant, I might add. She overdosed on some medication. And afterwards, she had to pay the consequences when she did come back to life. Not many people do when they try to take their lives. I don't know what the facts are, the percentages of people that try to take their life, but I would imagine a good portion of them don't return. They just succeed taking their own lives. So where do they go after the holding area? They go to a dark plane, according to her. I'm assuming this is true, okay? So they're on this dark plane, which is like a jail. They're caged in by this dark energy, dark matter, right? There's no love, no hope, no sun, no light, no joy, no happiness, only fear and darkness. People walking around saying repetitive, nonsensical stuff. It's like a prison sentence, jail. You have to do your time, and you're there for sometimes an indefinite amount of time. When she was there, she said she thought she saw someone from back in Jesus' time, maybe Judas was there. Remember Judas? And then, guess what? You might have an encounter with the Creator, Mother or Father God, maybe them both. She met Father God, and guess what? He wasn't happy. He was angry. He was angry. He said, is that what you really want? So when people take their own life, did you really want to take your own life? Knowing that you're going to be subjected to all of this darkness and no love, no joy, no happiness. Do you really want to do that? Because according to what she said, he told her that if you take your own life, it's worse, many times worse than what you got here on earth, my friends out there. Pass it along. If that's not you who is suicidal, pass it along to someone else. If you take your life, it's going to be a lot worse. And you have to start your life over again. Everything that you gained, all the progress you made up until that time you take your life will be lost. You'll have to start again, be born on the same category planet. You won't graduate with honors. You'll have to learn everything you've learned again. And that might set you back. It might hurt your future lives because you'd be thinking about that. It would be on your conscience, on your soul, and it could ruin your soul's journey. Eventually, I believe we all get to where we're going, which is to achieve co-creator God status. And it could take many, 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 many lifetimes and many, much learning in heaven in these spirit lands when you're there. So those people that take their lives, they deeply regret having done so once they realize what they've done. And so Mother and Father God, they'll be upset at you because you threw in the towel. They're going to say that everybody is supposed to go through these steps. Life is supposed to be hard. That's how you learn, my friends. Don't throw in the towel. You can't skip any steps. And imagine that dark plane. What you got here? Think about what you have here on Earth. You can watch the sunrise and the sunset, breathe the fresh air of the spring morning, the warm summer breeze in the evening, a great meal prepared by your mother, watching a movie with your spouse or a friend, swimming in the ocean, climbing a tree, petting a dog or a cat. You know that life is hard. Can you put your ego aside for just 1 minute? Say a prayer. Say a prayer. Pray to your Creator, the Creator of your soul and your spirit. You can do that, can't you? I've heard the stories of people who just, they didn't believe in God. And then they had this experience happen to them, and all of a sudden, then they pray. And when they do pray, the prayer comes out beautifully. They say it perfectly. And guess what? Your Creator is listening, Mother and Father God. Or the Supreme Creator, you know. Mother and Father God are both gods. You can pray to them. You can say just God. I say Mother and Father God when I say my prayers. Or I'll pray to the Supreme Creator of the universe, who initiated the Big Bang and the plan to have co-creator gods and solar systems, to have their own planets and children. This is true. One of our dogs just came out. Now she's gone back in. You heard the story, changing the subject. That's all I've got to say about abortion and suicide. Fallen angels. I've talked about this in other shows before. I don't believe that story myself about fallen angels. Rebellious angels. By saying that, you're saying that the Creator is not omnipotent or an omniscient. Omniscient and omnipotent God would have foreseen things like that happening and wouldn't have allowed it. Also, an omniscient and omnipotent God could destroy fallen angels if he or she wanted to, right? Why wouldn't they destroy them if they were being rebellious? Why wouldn't God destroy the devil if the devil was harassing us and God didn't want the devil to harass us? Why wouldn't God just destroy the devil? God could, unless you're giving the devil equal power to God. The truth is, my friends, that the devil is none other than Archangel Lucifer. Just like Archangel Michael, he has a role, and that is to be in charge of demons. God knows we need them. There are a lot of evil people on this earth that need intimidating and harassing to get them back on their life paths, their missions. Fallen angels. Oh, what a story. What a fantasy tale. God is omnipotent. If you were omnipotent, would you allow for any rebellion? I would crunch it in a minute, a second. Logic versus fiction, my friends. Let me explain what fiction is again. Fabrication, invention, something made out to be true when it's false, because it's expedient to do so, or traditional, created by people who are only interested in dominating the masses for their own power and wealth. Logic trumps fiction. Sword and fades back, shoot, swish, end of game. Hold on, I'm going to close the door, my dog's part. Okay, I closed the door, dog inside was barking, so just to get a little peace of mind here, doing my radio show. No guests on this show. What am I doing on time? 3 minutes has gone by. Wow. For any of you who are listening, you can afford to get your own show on BBS Radio. Get your own show on BBS Radio. It's an opportunity to talk for an hour. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's fun once you get going. And you can have guests. I've had guests in my show. I think I scared off one guest. I asked her to ask Doug to contact her, have her contact me, which she never did. I guess she didn't like the title of my show, Spirits Can Exist on the Sun. She might be thinking, I don't know. But I wonder if she listened to my show. Some people are judgmental. You know, they don't examine the evidence before making a decision, coming to a conclusion. They just are quick to judge people. Did it ever occur to them that I might be a highly advanced soul who was helping people on a mission from God? God allowed me to stay alive. Many times I could have died in the past, my friends. I won't go into the details, but suffice it to say, I am very fortunate to be alive. Many thanks. God. And just to explain it once again, I've explained this before. When I say God, I can either mean Mother or Father God, or both of them, because when they create, they merge their spirits and become one. positive, negative, alpha, omega, yin, the yang, come together in one beautiful, brilliant spirit with a male and female aspect, thinking in synchronicity and speaking words that can create matter. Can you dig it? So, let me look at my notes here and make some notes from what I wanted to talk about. Yeah, let me just, because I'm going to sing about two or three songs, and that will take about 15 minutes. So, we got lots of dragonflies flying around here in my backyard. Can't see any right now, but they come and land on the trees that we have. We have a peach tree and a plum tree. And these dragonflies are awesome. And I'll tell you a story. When I used to live in San Diego back in the 70s and early 80s before I left there, I used to pack up my car and go camping sometimes up into the mountains, Cuyamaca Mountains. And there's a lake, another lake further down the road from Cuyamaca. I forget the name of it, but I used to take my tent and stove and all my camping gear and go up there and do some fishing for a day or two. And one day I was up there and I had my fishing pole out. I was standing in the water, I think up to about my ankles or close to my knees. And I was just looking around, and this dragonfly came and settled on the tip of my fishing rod and was looking at me. Could feel him looking at me, you know, with his big dragonfly eyes. And it was kind of quiet. There wasn't anything, any noise going on at the time. And I could hear it making a humming noise, as if it was trying to talk to me. It wasn't a continuous noise. It was kind of broken up like it was trying to speak to me. And this went on for about a minute or two. And I got the feeling afterwards that it was trying to tell me to leave San Diego. And I'm glad I did, because at the time I was working at a hotel as a bellman. And I wasn't going anywhere. My life was kind of going down the tube, so to speak. My parents lived in San Diego, too, and we were not living a good existence at the time. I lived with them a few years, and sometimes on my own. I went back, moved back in with them just before they left to go to Las Vegas. I eventually joined them there in Las Vegas, but we were all alcoholics and smoked cigarettes. So I can't judge people for drinking or smoking, but I kicked the habit back in 1988. I'm glad I did, because I was kind of out of control. If it had been in moderation, it would have been one thing, but I just never could do that in moderation. So thanks to that dragonfly, I believe, and there was a couple of other factors too, I won't go into details, but I left San Diego and started my life over again. I joined the Army, which made my parents very proud. Until the day they died, they were very, very proud of me for the change that I've made for the better. My dad had always wanted me to join the military. He actually wanted me to join the Canadian Navy at first. But upon doing research about that, the benefits weren't as good as the U.S. military. At first, I tried to get into the Air Force, and that didn't work out because I had just turned 27 and I was a few months too old. So I applied for the Army, and they accepted me. Even had a DUI, which was a regretful time back in 1979. As I mentioned, there was many times I could have died, but other than Father God pulled me out, saw me through, saved me, in other words, and I'm eternally grateful and dedicating my life to do doing their wills on earth. One thing is to make heaven and earth come together, make the world a better place. This is what I do, and many other people who have their shows on BBS Radio are doing the same. Say thank you to them for the brilliant, beautiful people you are and the great things that you talk about. I'm not the only one. I may be an advanced soul, and there's no way to tell, right, until you leave this lifetime. And then you'll know how many lives you've had. But I'm willing to say that there are many, suffice it to say, I know that there are many other advanced souls out there. Sylvia Brown, who was a famous psychic medium, she passed away in her recent past. And she was a beautiful soul, very brilliant, spiritually developed. And she said that there are some people that they call mystic travelers and travel around the universe, even go back to help the lower evolved people. So, say, for example, they're living on a Category 6 planet on the evolutionary scale, and they'll reincarnate on a planet of a lower evolutionary category, even a Category 1 like planet Earth, to help the people evolve. And why not? We're all in this together, whether you're on a Category 9, which is the closest thing to heaven as you'll find on a material world. Even those people go back to Earth to help, come back to planets of a Category 1 evolutionary scale. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, is one example. And you can check it out on the internet if you're interested. I won't go into the details now. If you want to check out my archived shows, I have talked about it before in the past. I don't have enough time right now to talk about it because it's a long story to tell you that. Suffice it to say, there were two Jesus Christ, one who was born in Bethlehem and the one who died on the cross. You can find that out on the internet also. You can find that out on the internet also, and also additionally by looking at a book called Bayouba, The Golden Planet, or Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Beautiful book, excellent read. The author is very humorous and extremely intelligent. So check that out if you don't believe me. I'm telling you the truth, my friends. I've got nothing to hide, nothing to gain here, unless you want to give me some money for talking this way. $1 million would be nice. You know what I'd do with $1 million? I'd buy a new house. I'll be 66 next month, so I'll have enough checks to survive on, and I wouldn't have to work anymore. Yeah. That means I can go to bed when I want to and wake up when I want to. Yes. But the way things look right now, I've got a few more years. Maybe 4, maybe 7, I don't know. But I'm making good money, $52 an hour. I won't tell you what, because I don't have time right now. I wanted to do some singing. So let me sing some songs for you, and I'll give you a little explanation of why I learned these songs for the Wounded Warriors. Okay? How much time do I have? Got about 20 minutes. That's not actually, about 15. So I'm standing up, going over to my computer, putting my cell phone on my tripod here. I've got my speakers over on the side. I did sing some songs with the last two shows, and they didn't come across too well because I was using just my laptop for the sound to come out. But now I've got my speakers because I am a karaoke guy, and I take this equipment with me when I go to these karaoke gigs, although I don't ever look at the lyrics myself, very rarely anyway. Oh, this reminds me. I want to sing this one song. Beautiful song. And so I'm going to type it in here. It's called I Love the Night by a band called Blue Oyster Cult. Let me see if I've got YouTube up here already. I might have it up already. Blue Oyster Cult was a big band back in the 70s. And they're still still touring. In fact, they were going to come to San Antonio back in April before COVID happened. And so that never came to pass. And I still want to go see them. I saw them once in San Diego in the stadium. And they're famous for one song that's called Godzilla. You might have heard Godzilla before. That's a pretty cool song. I love the guitar work there. But this one's called I Love the Night. And check out the words of this song. They're very beautiful. Oh, here it goes. And you're going. Here's a... That night a kiss told me it was over. I walked out late into the dark. Misty gloom seemed to soak up my sorrow. The further I went on, I felt the threatening calm. Then suddenly my eyes were bathed in light. And the lovely lady in white was by my side. She said, like me, I see you're walking alone. Won't you please stay? I couldn't look away. She said, I love the night. The day is okay and the sun can be fun, but I live to see those waves slip away. I love the night. There's so much that I can give and share to you if you will welcome me tonight. If only you have been there, my dear, we could have shared this together. No mortal was meant to know such wonder. One look in the mirror told me so. Come darkness, I'll see her again. Yes, I'm gonna go. 'Cause now I know. I love the night. The day is okay and the sun can be fun, but I live to see those rays slip away. I love the night. I love the night. Well, there it is, my friend. I Love the Night by Gloria Stefanovic from the 1970s off the Spectre album. Very beautiful song. I think as in regard to the Wounded Warriors, I sang that one time, and I looked around, and they were stunned. And kind of like both had some beautiful words, very, very esoteric, you know, kind of like people don't say those kind of things, you know. I mean, especially about a lady in white appearing in the dark, almost like an angel, right? Oh, I've got so many of these songs, not enough time to sing for you, but I'm going to sing another one called Second Chance. This is by a band called 38 Special. Not a good name for a band, you know, when you think about 38 Special with Pistol, but they're a Southern rock band, and their lead singer was the brother of Ronnie Van Zandt, who was the lead singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd. This song came out in the early 80s, and it's very beautiful. It talks about somebody, a man who had a relationship, a love affair when he was married, I guess, or maybe he had a girlfriend. But it also, I mean, he's asking for a second chance, but it's also able to be interpreted as we need second chances for other things in life as well. So here goes. It's called Second Chance. Since you've been gone, I feel my life slipping away. I look to the sky, everything is turning gray. All I made was one mistake. How much more do I have to take? Why can't you think it over? Why can't you forget about the past? When love makes a sound day, our heart needs a second chance. Don't put me down, babe. Can't you see I love you? Since you've been gone, I've been in a trance. This heart needs a second chance. Don't say it's over, just can't say goodbye. So this is love, standing in the pouring rain. I fooled on you, but she never meant a thing. And I know I ain't got no right to ask you to sympathize. But why can't you think it over? Why can't you forget about the past? When love makes the sound, babe, our heart needs a second chance. Don't put me down, babe. Can't you see I love you? Since you've been gone, I've been in a trance. This heart needs a second chance. Don't say it so, just can't say goodbye. I never loved her. I never needed her. She was willing, and that's all there is to say. Don't forsake me. Please don't leave me now. A heart needs a second chance. Thank you. yeah. Since you've been gone, I've been in a trance. This heart needs a second chance. Don't say it's so, just can't say goodbye. Please forgive me and forget it. I was wrong and I admit it. Why can't we talk it over? Why can't we forget about the past? Our heart needs a second chance. When love makes the sound, babe, our heart needs a second chance. Don't put me down, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been in a trance. This heart needs a second chance. Don't say it's over. I just can't say goodbye. A heart needs a second chance. When love makes the sound, babe, a heart needs a second chance. 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 That's it, my friends. Hi, everybody. I'm here in my backyard. Sun's going down. It's a good day. It's all good, right? So take good care of yourselves out there. We're getting over this COVID, right? And make sure you breathe. I was listening to the radio today, coming home from shopping, and this doctor with a PhD was talking to the radio host on some channel, I forget. She was saying, you got to remember to breathe in stressful situations, you know, if you have anxiety, like I do, then you need to breathe. Practice deep breathing, or maybe I don't want to tell you something that might, you know, if you're not in 100% health, that might hurt you. But the point is to exercise your lungs if you can. Just take deep breaths, and so fresh air also. Make sure you get enough fresh air and sunshine, and drink plenty of water, and. Do everything in moderation, you know, be wise, be intelligent with what you eat. Don't eat something that tastes bad, you know, and get food poisoning, which might lead to them getting the flu, you know, a virus. And don't be intimidated. Don't be swayed by all the hype and hysteria, you know. Keep it under control, you know. You're a great person. You're a child of God. You're wonderful. You've got so much potential. You're loved, but more than you know, so am I. And I hope to talk to you, God willing. I'll be back on the airwaves next Saturday, same time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And so between now and then, take good care of yourselves. Enjoy life. Be happy. Don't worry. Or something like that. I love you. May God bless us, everyone, and protect us too. Bye-bye.